and I'm now joined on the line by Minister for Education, Mr. Richard Bruton, to talk about the government's new strategy for foreign languages in education. A very good morning to you, Minister, and thank you very much for joining us.
Morning, Johnny.
Yeah, you're keeping well, I hope.
I'm very good indeed.
That's good. Minister, as part of preparations for Ireland in terms of Brexit, you've recently launched a key strategic policy to prioritise the teaching of foreign languages with targeted measures for improved fluency, increasing the number of languages taught, and immersions programmes. First of all, Minister, may I ask you to just briefly outline details of the plan?
Well, I suppose while Brexit is a huge background issue, our ambition in foreign languages probably goes well beyond that as well, because, language is a window onto the world. And as you know, we have so many new Irish people in living in Ireland now who have a different language in their own home. That's a very important part of why we want to develop our languages. But you're right, also, language is key to trade. And I suppose we have been sheltered to some degree in having English as our home language. But the reality is that the growth of trade, 90% of trade won't happen even within the European Union. We'll be talking about trying to trade in countries as far afield as Arabia, Asia. And we really need to move to be ready for those challenges. So what this strategy is about is recognising that we have weaknesses to address. We teach too few languages in our schools, even though 70% of pupils sit languages to leaving certificate. It's dominated by just one language, French. We need to diversify across a wider range of languages. The other problem is proficiency is too low in Ireland. We don't reach a standard of fluency that other European countries reach, even after learning languages for many, many years through school and even through college. And the third element is we do need now to look at languages that we've never thought of perhaps before. Mandarin is a hugely important language. Portuguese is a really important language. Polish and Lithuanian are now increasingly used by people who are living here. These are all languages we want to bring to leaving certificate level, and that's part of our strategy.
Right, okay. And as you were just saying there, Mandarin, Chinese and so forth, what about Hindi? Would that form part of the equation, as we have a very large Indian community here in Ireland?
Yeah, well, it will be one of the languages that we would promote by way of short courses and encourage people to learn it outside of the curriculum. We haven't at this stage targeted it as one which would be a curriculum language. We're starting with those four that I mentioned, Mandarin, Portuguese, Polish and Lithuanian, where I think we have the capacity to deliver in that area. I think into the longer term, obviously, we need to develop our capacity in other areas. But in the short term, like we have made, for example, the sort of goals we've set, we want to increase by 25% the number of post-primary schools that offer two or more languages, so that we get away from just one foreign language being offered. We want to see the number of people who go to third level and participate in Erasmus increase by 50%, because that gives students who have who are studying for a qualification a chance to be immersed for a year in another foreign language setting, and that they achieve a level of fluency that goes way beyond what you just teach in normal classroom settings. So we want to be very ambitious in that area.
Right, okay. So, Minister, once the UK leaves the European Union, then Ireland will be actually only one of two English-speaking countries in the Union. Is this the main reason for the government's new strategy in the teaching of foreign languages?
Well, I think it adds a new urgency to the issue, because there's no doubt many smaller Irish businesses are going to have to diversify very rapidly from a UK dependence to look at other markets further afield. So that's why, languages like Arabic, Mandarin, these are going to be languages that many Irish companies are already exploring. They're opening up trade into these countries, and they need to manage, have fluency, a sufficient level of fluency to be able to conduct trade. So I think Brexit underlines the importance from a trading perspective, and Enterprise Ireland has indicated about half a dozen languages where they see will be key to their own ambitions to grow into key markets. So, you know, those languages that they have identified are certainly going to be the ones that guide the work we put in.
Okay. Minister, it's a five-year plan, 2017 to 2022. Therefore, perhaps developments have already taken place, we assume.
Yeah, I mean, it's a programme we're trying to embed. I mean, examples of the sort of thing that we can do is that we have teacher assistants, for example. These are assistants who come, whose native language is somewhere else. They could be Spanish, or they could be German, they could be Portuguese. And these are people who speak language as native. They have been coming into Ireland and being part of the school environment, helping students to learn a language. We want to double the number of teachers who participate in those sort of programs, so that we would see far more people coming into our schools that actually speak this as a native. Now, that can promote much more familiarity with the oral spoken word and can bring a vibrancy to the learning of a language that mightn't be there if you didn't have such a person present. So, you know, that's a very practical thing that we have already got in place, and we can expand rapidly. A number of the embassies are very keen to support us in that, and for them, they see it as, you know, their own teachers, you know, at an advanced stage in their training, get a chance to come to a school setting abroad. So it's a win-win for both. So that's a sort of example that we want to build upon. There's other things that we will be doing. We'll obviously, to help schools add a new language, we will be providing concessionary hours for schools to bring in some additional teaching capacity to outreach to these new languages. We're also looking, you know, at the whole area of teacher supply. Like, as we diversify into new languages, the existing base of teachers will have to either upskill to add new languages to their own base, or we need to find people who have fluency in these languages to attract them into teaching. So we'll be looking at how can we do that, like the concept of a visiting teacher in some of these less common languages is obviously a route we'll go, so that, you know, one teacher of whatever, Japanese perhaps, could cover quite a number of schools who were starting to develop short courses in those languages. So I suppose we already have, I suppose, some of the tools that we want to develop. Already some of them are there in, you know, early form, but we want to obviously develop and deepen them over the years ahead.
Right. Okay. Excellent. And there are 100 actions in the strategy, and some of them, well, most of them, make a lot of sense, and it's all very good thinking. But one of them is to increase the opportunities for short-term teacher exchanges for post-primary teachers. What exactly is that all about?
Well, I think it's very, very like what I described with the teacher's assistants, you know, where you get an Irish teacher getting the chance to be exposed to teaching in another country, in another environment. That's a massive step up in their own skill base. And as you probably know, people talk about integrating language teaching into other subjects as being the way forward. Like many of us, despite having years of exposure to Irish, we don't have the capacity to use it in practical environments. I think the new thinking about language is that, you know, we should be using our foreign languages to talk about other subjects, talk about geography, or talk about environment, or talk about mathematics. So I think if you get teachers who get an immersion in another country, they can have the capacity to bring that integrated learning, so that they actually use the language to bring life to other subjects that they might be teaching at the same time. So I think that's probably the direction that you're going to see a lot of thinking about language, certainly in the teaching of Irish. At primary level, that type of integration of the language use into a wider range of subjects, I think, is the way ahead for making sure that we achieve fluency at the end of, you know, what for many of us was 1,500 hours, I think they estimate, of exposure to the Irish language, and yet many of us end up not having that fluency. If we can teach it in a way that it is more integrated into the normal life of the school, we can be so much better. So getting the chance to have our teachers immersed in another country's teaching and schools is a great way of extending that type of thinking into our own schools.
Right. What about junior certificate? Any plans to introduce more languages into the junior cycle?
Yeah, the junior cycle is a key area because it's now, as you know, offering the chance not only for the curricular, the actual curriculum languages, and we will be looking to increase the number of schools that offer a junior cycle more than one language very substantially to expand the number so that, you know, most all schools within the decade would be offering more than one language. But the also thing that the junior cycle offers is the chance to put on short courses, and these would be part, although they wouldn't be examined, they would be part of a student's portfolio of achievement at the end of the junior cycle. So just as a student could have exposure to a short course in coding, they equally could have exposure to a short course in Chinese and Chinese culture, or in many of the other languages, be it the languages of the New Irish, Lithuanian, Polish, many of the Eastern European languages, or indeed other languages. So I think junior cycle offers a very flexible environment for introducing students to these languages. That can obviously be brought forward again into transition year, where students have the opportunity to take on a language. Longer term, obviously, we want to see higher education also see a big step up in the proportion of students who include a language within their core qualification. I think it is a bit disappointing to see that although 70% of students take a language to leaving certificate, only 4% of students actually have a language involved at their higher education study. So a lot of that pathway that we built in school is falls by the wayside when you get to third level. I think that's not a good indicator of our education system, and we want to see, you know, languages carried through much further.
Yes, I'm beginning the earlier the better, which brings me on to the next question, and it's probably pushing it a bit, but any plans to introduce even a spattering of, say, Spanish, French and German in primary education?
Yeah, I mean, the NCCA are going to look at what we can do at primary level. There are some good examples of schools who are doing this already, and we'll obviously encourage that. But whether we integrate it into a national curriculum at this point is something that the NCCA will have to examine in greater detail. You know, again, it poses challenges. As you know, the primary school model is built around one teacher providing, if like all subject material to students. It would be difficult, I suppose, to integrate into an entirely new language subject into that environment. But I think the NCCA will have a hard look at what can we do in this area. There's no doubt you're right that, you know, the brain of a young child is much more flexible, and if they're learning two languages, as they all are at the moment, be it English and Irish, or many are learning, you know, and can speak three where they have their own native language, you know, people who have that level of proficiency find it easy to pick up a third and a fourth. So, you know, there is a very strong case for looking at this, but whether we can integrate it into a primary curriculum at this point is something that we have to evaluate before we make any commitment.
All right, all sounds good. Minister, take for example a Polish or say a Romanian student born in Ireland and living here with his or her family, let's say for the last 12, 13 years. They are already fluent in their family's native language because it's spoken in their home. So when they're doing their leaving cert for that particular language, is it not a bit unfair to the other students because the other has a distinct advantage, let's say an edge above them? And of course, also, if doing a higher level with bonus points, it gives them an even higher advantage again compared to the other students. What's your view on this?
Well, you know, I think you win on the swings and you lose on the roundabouts. You know, someone who speaks Romanian as their native language obviously will have struggled in school, you know, to come to grips with a curriculum that's taught entirely in a different language. So I don't think we should look at it in that way. And I think, you know, I know that the CAO is still, you know, a tough competition for points. But longer term, I think we have to look at languages as part of a wider portfolio of competences that every young person should have a chance to develop. So, you know, I think we have to take a longer view of this and not just look at language teaching through the prism of a, you know, a competitive chase for points in a particular language. Like, I think if we can get more people with proficiency in languages, you know, for example, if we had Mandarin speakers, I don't think it matters whether that person is an expert Mandarin speaker who can help enterprises grow the business in China, whether they spoke Chinese in their own family or whether they weren't. So I don't think we can, you know, view everything through sort of that narrow test of you know, who's best equipped to get the language results in an exam. The main thing is we want to build these competences and we want to value them and treasure them and recognize them. So we want to make more languages that are spoken in Ireland examinable in the Leaving Certificate, so people can actually, you know, show that they have reached proficiency in them. We want over time to develop curriculum for those, and that's what's happening in Mandarin, Portuguese, Polish and Lithuanian. We want to develop more short courses that will give people tasters at either junior cycle or transition year, and gradually build up Ireland as a country where, you know, languages are a part of what we do.
Yes, well, I'd say on the other side of the coin, those particular students, whilst some of them will sit the whole Leaving Certificate in their native country language, the majority of them will have to do it in English, which is in fact a disadvantage to them in one sense. So yes, I take your point. Minister, in relation to teaching, can foreign nationals teach their language, for example, French, Spanish, German, in an Irish secondary school?
Well, they would have to do a master's in education to, and would have to have some recognised degree, a degree recognised by the teaching council. So if you had a native Japanese speaker or who had a degree that was recognised, they could do a master's to give them the skill to teach in class. Now, one of the things that we are considering in an area where we have, if you like, a shortage of teachers, is perhaps making those masters, subsidizing participation in those masters. So if we need it, and you could think of another field, physics, for example, if we wanted to attract more physics graduates into teaching at second level, one of the things that we're assessing is whether we should subsidize the participation in a master's for those physics graduates. So you could see the same applying in other areas where we might have had people with qualifications in a language, similarly getting the opportunity to get a master's at a subsidised rate and then be able to get their registration with the teaching council and participate in the teaching of languages at school. Indeed, you know, even before they fully complete their masters, the teaching council does give recognition to some such people going into the classroom. So it could be a fast track of getting people with proficiency in subjects where we've scarcity, and we're looking hard at that.
Excellent. It all sounds very good, Minister, I have to say. Anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
No, I think it's just, I mean, I was had the chance to go to the Dominican convent in Cabra, which coincidentally I was educated in myself as a small boy, and I was just enthralled to see students in the school speak 20 languages of welcome, each one in their own native language, and they're all participants in the school there. How Ireland has changed and how we need to use language as a window into these new worlds that we're of diversity that's now in Ireland. So it's not just the reasons of trade that excites our interest in language. It's also, it's a window on world that we should be participating as global and European citizens. So I think it's a really exciting journey that we're taking here.
Yes, and a great way for understanding the other cultures as well, those understanding ours in return. Minister, thank you very much for being with us today, and we wish you all the very best with the plan.
Thanks very much, Johnny, and have a good Christmas in the meantime.
Yes, a very Merry Christmas to you, season's greetings, and have a great day. All the best and take care.
Take care, bye.
All the best, thank you. Now, that was Minister Bruton talking about the government's new strategy for foreign languages in education.